joining Georgia.
I'm Chris Foster, Fox News. Florida's Republican-controlled legislature passes new restrictions on how people can vote. Governor Ron DeSantis tells Fox there's nothing wrong with elections in Florida.
We think we led the nation, but we're trying to stay ahead of the curve to make sure that these elections are run well.
The law limits the use of mail-in voting and ballot drop boxes, which some Republicans claim contributes to fraud. Opponents say this is about making it harder for Democrats to vote. Restrictions in Georgia led Major League Baseball to pull this summer's All-Star game out of Atlanta. President Biden marks Amtrak's 50th birthday with a speech today at the train station in Philadelphia.
The trip is part of the president's effort to build support for about $4 trillion in new spending, including about $80 billion to improve train service. President Biden has long been an advocate for passenger rail, frequently making the 90-minute trip between Wilmington, Delaware, and Washington during his 36 years in the Senate. At the White House, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
Sunday is declared a day of national mourning in Israel for the at least 45 people killed in a stampede at a stadium.
About 150 others were hurt, some critically, and there are reports that children are among the dead. It happened early today at the Lag BaOmer celebration at Mount Moron, the first mass religious gathering to be held legally since Israel lifted nearly all pandemic restrictions, drawing tens of thousands of ultra-Orthodox Jews. Large numbers of attendees tried to get through a narrow tunnel-like passage during the event, then began falling on top of each other near the end of the walkway where they descended slippery metal stairs.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers. American incomes rose at a record pace last month.
We're seeing the impact of stimulus payments last month. Personal incomes rose more than 21% in March. Consumer spending was up more than 4%. Both readings are stronger than expected. Stimulus was a factor in strong economic growth in the first quarter, and economists predict it will continue as more Americans are vaccinated.
Fox's Jenny Casola. America's listening to Fox News.
Hello, I'm a unicorn. Yes, one of those. Everyone's tried to find me, but most can't, unless there's ZipRecruiter. If you've hired before, you understand it's quite hard to find a unicorn. You know, someone who's perfect for your role. So how does ZipRecruiter do it so quickly? ZipRecruiter's technology matches your job up with the right people for your role and invites them to apply, so you get brilliant candidates fast.
Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/trial. That's ZipRecruiter.com/trial.
Attention Social Security and SSI recipients. If you did not receive an economic impact payment for your eligible spouse or dependents, you may need to file a 2020 tax return with the IRS and claim the recovery rebate credit. Go to ssa.gov/EIP to see if you need to file a tax return and if eligible for other refundable tax credits, like the child tax credit. That's ssa.gov/EIP. Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters, and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Sprague Sports is Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters. Why? Because Sprague Sports is the difference. Where else can you buy, sell, trade, or consign firearms with free expert appraisals always? There is nothing like Sprague Sports, with 64 years of industry connections to have products in stock when others can't. And all Sprague's firearms come with a lifetime warranty. And talk about customer service. There's a gunsmith always on duty. Sprague's is your Remington warranty center, and when you need it, there's expert one-day sight-in service. But that's not all. Sprague Sports has got training courses, including Arizona CCW, First Shot, Hunter Education, and more. Sprague handles Glock, Blue Label pistols, and is your NFA dealer in suppressors and full autos. That's why we call them the experts. And Sprague's is Yuma's Yeti headquarters, the best Yeti selection and free ice for life. Sprague's has a 10-lane, rifle-certified indoor shooting range and gun rentals you can try before you buy. Serving Yuma's shooting and outdoor needs since 1956. That's the Sprague's difference. Sprague's, 32nd Street, next to Lowe's.
The opinions voiced in this show, Money Talk, are for general information only and not intended for specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
I want a man on his cover.
good morning, Yuma Money Talk, AM560 KBLU. Derek Eggberg, Tom Rush, Russ Clark in the studio.
Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
So, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, you always have a good stack of papers. Looks like you want to get right into it. What do you got for us this morning?
Yeah, just some numbers that kind of jump out as you look at things. The real number that just came out recently is that saying the real GDP number for the first quarter of this year is 6.4%, which is good by all marks.
Great by all marks.
Yeah. So the real question is going to be is what's going to happen the second half of the year, because that's, you know, that or the even the next quarter and the second half of the year. And basically what we're hearing, or no one has a crystal ball, but they think the government's going to continue to spend money, whether it's infrastructure play or even this family plan thing that they're trying to do. So that's kind of like throwing fuel on the fire, where the fire will get real big for a little bit, and then it will suck back down. You know, you've been camping where you do that, and, you know.
I think it's a good analogy.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And then the other thing that we think is going to happen is COVID has raised up a little bit recently, but not a lot. But I think we're going to hit a herd immunity sometime into May, June. And if that happens, then there should be no reason the economy should open up, is what they're saying. And if that happens, the American consumer went from saving 4% or 5%. At one point, they were saving 13%, 14%. So they think they're going to have a lot of money to go have fun. They think this could be one of the busiest summers to spend money for vacations in the history of the history of the United States. Meaning people are going to go out and just want to do something different vacation-wise this summer than they missed last summer.
I think it makes some sense that people are cooped up and haven't been able to do anything, and as soon as you get the green light, you can do it. Now, it's interesting, you know, you look at, say, gas prices. Gas prices have gone up nearly double in 5 months. So the cost of traveling is going to be significantly more expensive for most people.
And I think people don't care. I mean, I hate to say it, but, you know, when you let your dog out of your house after 3 days, it just runs, you know. I think that's kind of going to be the mentality.
I was on the analogies today. I kind of like it.
I had some people that were looking at a place in Mission Beach, friends. And, you know, the prices to get them during July, August, it was up like 40-50% is what they said.
Oh, really?
So it means a lot of people are visiting the beach. But basically, we think the second half of the year should continue with a good growth rate. Now, the stuff that I'm reading thinks maybe 5% on the GDP, which is still strong. I mean, it could go higher. So that's kind of where we're at short term.
Now, is there something that when you talk about GDP numbers like that, which, again, in the sixes is really good GDP numbers, let's be honest. Is there a sector or sectors that jump out at you that you think, wow, that was a unique bump that I wasn't expecting that?
They basically say that this number is coming from personal consumption, which basically means Americans spending money. A lot of people don't realize this, but like 70% of the GDP, 75% of the GDP number is basically Americans spending money. Business investment and home building. So those are the ones that grew over double digits, which were over 10%.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the three areas that are, you know, I guess, causing it to go up.
You know, the one that stuck out to me is I saw a report Monday that talked about the average internet purchase for goods last year versus this year. And prior to March of last year, the U.S. was at about 13%. And as of March of this year, it looks to project about 27%. So double the amount of purchases online, obviously because nobody's going to the stores and we've had COVID, obviously. But you look at where the money is being spent is interesting to me as well. That, you know, are there sectors that are driving consumers to buy one thing versus another just based on the availability of goods in a certain way?
Yeah, someone said COVID pretty much just sped up the technology that we have and how it's being used. And, you know, let's just take Zoom. You know, a lot of people probably weren't using it before COVID, and now it's kind of the norm.
Yeah.
And it's even the norm where companies are even letting their employees continue on to work wherever they want. So,
I think that's one of the things that corporate America hadn't really figured out until now is it's actually so much cheaper that you don't necessarily need as much real estate under roof if you're a company, because you do have people who want to work from home and will work from home, and there's ways to track the metrics. But, you know, even on our side, you know, we have a full complement of staff, but some of them choose to work from home once in a while. It's fine. You have all the same technology.
So I think that that theme's here to stay. Same with online shopping. People realize it's easy to get online and shop. So it's going to change the dynamics of things. The companies that are doing pretty good with online shopping, like Target, I think Kohl's, is that they are offering it online, you know, whether you pick it up there. I think Walmart's doing the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
Or they might even have, I don't know if they have delivery yet, but Walmart's coming out with some delivery to try to compete against Amazon.
Now, I like the fact, you know, again, you mentioned Kohl's. I've got kids trying to keep them in clothes. It's amazing how fast those boys' shoe size grow. It's crazy. But that's one thing I like is I can order it online but still go and pick it up at the store, so I still feel like I'm supporting the local employee who still is getting a paycheck here, and it's not somebody somewhere else. And to be honest, when people say shop local, what we're really saying is, are we supporting the people who are working within the individual business? And
right.
So I think Kohl's has done a really good job on that. It'll be interesting to see now, say, GameStop, which has been in the news like crazy. They're trying to change their business model to be much more online than physically in-store, brick-and-mortar type stuff.
I think they were behind the curve, really.
Hugely behind the curve, but it's interesting that you see some businesses like Kohl's that shift to, I need to be online, but I still want to augment what my personal store, the local store, is doing. And other businesses think, man, I got to jump into the internet and get out of as much of the brick and mortar as I can.
That's
interesting.
I don't know if you know this, but I think Kohl's has an agreement with Amazon, but that's one of the pickups for Amazon, too. So think about it. Someone goes, picks up an Amazon box. Oh, I'm in Kohl's. Might as well walk around. Maybe get an extra sale.
Yeah.
Hey, so let's talk about housing, because that's kind of the elephant in the room. And as we know in Yuma, housing prices are high, supplies down. I talked to a broker locally who has the realtor place with a bunch of people in it, or employees. He says they usually have about 30 listings a month, and he said he was down to about 4. I don't know if you're hearing the same thing.
The supply is what's causing all of the, I don't say concerns, but that's what's driving the market. And you've heard people say, is this another bubble? Is the market going up? It's not a bubble locally. It is a supply problem in certain areas. And let's talk about what you see, the population shifts and what's driving this. We all have seen the news where, say, California lost a House seat and New York lost a House seat. Now, what does that tell you two gentlemen about population either moving into or out of those two states?
Oh.
Out of.
If you're losing seats, yeah.
So
I'd answer that for Russ.
I know. You guys are sleeping, for crying out loud. Goodness gracious. So you're seeing population shift, and here's an example. So yesterday I had a mom and dad with their two adult working daughters come in. All three of them are moving from California to Yuma, Arizona. Cost of living, they get to keep two of the three will keep their same California job and live here. And one is transferring over here with their same company. So all three of them will be fully gainfully employed, become Arizona residents. They want to get out of California based on the taxes and the legislative environment they're in. And now those three people are coming to Yuma, who will take up three more of the homes that could have been there for a human, if you will. That's what's happening, is that construction, you just can't build it fast enough. And then we can get into what the cost of the construction has been.
I don't know how they build them, really. I mean, where do you get your products from? Because lumber, you know, it's not available. And if it is, it's four times the price it was just a few months ago.
And that's why you're seeing literally some of these builders take price increases weekly, because they can't keep up with what the input resources are. And it's not just the resources, it's the labor to put it in.
Yeah.
Because you see, let's say a whatever vendor, you know, I don't want to say one in particular, but let's say a vendor was going in for one contractor at an agreed-on price, but another contractor with another subdivision says, man, I really need you guys. I'm willing to pay you a dollar an hour more. So the whole crew leaves and moves over, and all of a sudden it's not just getting the sticks of wood, it's getting the guys to frame and hammer and drywall and plumb.
Definitely a labor supply, especially with sometimes it's cheaper to just stay home and collect the government check, which I think is kind of sunset, they said, at the end of September. So this whole summer is going to be a labor problem. I know there's restaurants and places around town that are literally working on skeleton crew because they can't find workers.
Well, oh, some have closed days because they can only open so many days.
And I think we've, again, unfortunately, COVID taught the restaurants that you're operating on a 25% occupancy, so they didn't have even remotely enough staff to open back up to full. Now you open to full, and people, like you say, you let the door, you open the door, the dog runs.
Make more money sitting home.
That's right.
Hey, we'll take another break here. This is Money Talk, 5, 6 a.m.
Because the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. With Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
To enjoy a longer, productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. It's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors. At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Given recent events in the financial markets, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being? If you've been questioning your investment plan that you have in place, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors. At Yuma Investment, is a college education a dream you hold for your newborn? It's important to take steps to begin meeting this financial challenge. To learn about flexible college savings programs, contact Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. They can help you plan today so you're prepared for tomorrow's college expenses. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. This week on Money Talk, we'll be taking your questions on mortgages, credit, rental properties, and other budgeting items. If you or someone you know has a question, please call us Friday morning between 8 and 9 a.m. at 344-5258, 344-5258. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
Hey Yuma, this is Money Talk. Another beautiful morning in Yuma. I think I hope this weather holds up before the big heat comes. But got Derek Eggeberg in here, Academy Mortgage, and we got Russ Clark in here, who's running the boards, running the show.
Just taking up space.
Hey, so let's talk again about housing. I got some stats here that are You know, if you look at the numbers, I mean, the question that always comes up is there a bubble? And I think you kind of insinuated it's more of an inventory problem than a bubble.
If you look, and I want to go back to local, you can have bubbles in areas, but it's not a bubble nationwide right now. And here in Yuma, it's a supply problem. And if you read the economist, the senior economist for the National Association of Realtors actually came out with an article yesterday talking about exactly that, that it's a supply-side problem right now because everything is hard to get. You can't get lumber. You can't get concrete. You can't get drywall. I mean, if you look at the glue to put drywall together, there's a nationwide shortage.
Really?
Yep. That's why drywall has gone through the roof. So, Rush, you were just talking about wood, so read those numbers again. What was a 2x4, 10-foot length?
$11.25.
So more than a dollar a foot.
My goodness.
For a 2x4.
And this is just construction-grade fir. That's it.
Now, 4 to 6 months ago, let's say 10 months ago, what was it?
A little over $2.
$2.
Five times.
So that's a 5 times increase in the resource that goes in the wall that no one will ever see. And that's a 2x4. Not a 2x6.
I'm looking at metal studs now. You know, they used to be a lot more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're cheaper than wood.
And they're probably more durable, I'd say.
Well, they're getting harder
to
find.
They're straight.
But now, talk about that's a 2x4. What's a 2x6? I don't know if you have that there on your fancy schmancy phone.
Yeah.
But it's when you say a bubble.
It's real expensive.
The prices are going up because there's a supply side problem. And like I talked about in the first section, you have people moving into areas because they want to live in those areas for cost of living, for potential jobs, to get away from certain legislative and political areas. And so I think you're going to see continued growth here in Yuma population-wide wise, which is why the price of housing will continue to go up.
So I got some numbers here. So new single-family home soared by 20% in March. So if I just read that...
Now, for everybody listening, is that number of units sold or cost, the average sales price?
It says sales, so money.
Okay, so the average sales price went up 20%.
Yeah. So, you know, that's a hot number. The other thing that I said, now, sales are up from a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
In the same single-family homes, how much do you think they're up from a year ago?
Single-family homes from a year ago?
Now, I think this is sales, like a number of houses sold.
Number of houses sold from a year ago, I would say up 15%.
66. So that seems, I mean, I don't know. If someone told me something went up by 20% in 1 month and it's 66, that would scare me back.
I'd love to know where that number's coming from because there's an inventory shortage. Now, obviously, the second you're listing it, you're going to have 27 offers coming in and 100 people walking through your front door.
Now the median price of a new home is at a record high in the United States ever, and that's $397,000 and some change. Now, how much higher is that from a year ago? And give me percentage. It's just an estimate. I'm putting you on the spot here.
Putting me on the spot. I'm going to say 26%.
6%.
6%? Boy, I'm off both of those.
So, I don't know. I mean, and this is as of March numbers, nothing to do with April, but the point is there's some really big numbers in the housing area.
Yeah.
Cost. Sales.
But see, that lends me right back to what I was saying is it's the local market. So if you look at when you say an average home, let's say a 3-bed, 2-bath, bread and butter home, 2-car garage, here in Yuma, those prices have gone up considerably.
Those are the most sought after.
Because, A, they're a hole in the marketplace. It just doesn't exist. You can't find them right now.
Probably cheaper pricing people that first-time home buyers.
Cheaper pricing. But like I had mentioned about a month ago, you know, saw a home listed back behind Cibola. And the price it went on the market for, within that 48-hour window, they had 20-plus people walk through the door to look at it, and it sold for $30,000 more than what it was listed for because it got bid up.
$30,000 more?
$30,000 more because there just aren't the homes out there right now.
And you just put your RV back on the market, Russ. This is a gold mine here.
Man.
So, but you talk about those numbers, you know, the numbers of units sold are going to be driven by, you know, are there people moving into the market or not? You look at the percentage increase. I personally think there's going to be areas in the country that have a hard time, especially when you see population moving out of them. And again, there's areas in California, New York that are going to do really well, and there's lots of money in those areas. And there's going to be areas that people are moving out of that I think you're going to have a hard time supporting those those prices of homes.
So let's talk stocks here for a second, because I got a stat that's pretty interesting. So the S&P 500 has home building stocks in it. Those are the top 500 companies through market capitalization size. So the peak was in 06, and they hit about, as a number they have, they hit about 5,500. And I have no idea exactly what that means. But where's the number at today compared to where it was at the peak of 06?
I have no idea.
What do you think? You think homeowners are, stocks are higher or lower?
Oh, higher.
You know, based on the profitability, I think it's about the same.
As of November, they're at the same level November of 2020 as they were in 06, but now it's at about 8,000, so it's at about a 30% higher. Stocks are 30% higher than the housing bubble in 06.
Wow.
So.
Now, is that based on from the November to now? Is that based on, you know, fundamentals that have been released in profitability, or is that everybody buying them because they think, wow, housing is doing really well? Because I would venture to say a lot of these home builders haven't realized what the profitability of the homes they're building right now is. Because a lot of these home builders, they put homes under contract 6-8 months ago, and they committed to a price, they don't realize what the lumber, the drywall, the roof tiles are. I think there's a lot that haven't figured out. Oh, my goodness, we're not even close to the profitability we talked about.
The other thing not being factored in is all the immigrants coming across the border eventually have to buy a house. I'm joking here, but...
How can they buy a house, man?
They might get some government
they
money.
They qualify for a loan?
So I don't know. It's my eyes, it looks kind of like a bubble.
Yeah. It's scary.
If you told me that, and again, you know, again, from my eyes, if you said there were investors coming and buying 20 homes at a time and turning them into rentals, and there's a glut of inventory that could come on the market at a moment's notice if the market changed, I would say, yeah, I think there could be a bubble. Right now, what I still see is, like the family this week, there's three family units moving from California in one sit-down conversation, three people moving here that are going to live here. They're not turning it into a rental. They're not doing anything else. They're literally going to move over here and live here. And that's what you're seeing is people moving to Yuma, and I think it's the same in, say, Tucson. I believe it's the same in Phoenix. You see people moving into areas that are going to continue supporting the population. Like, again, where Tesla's moving to in Texas.
That's going to be growth for a long time.
There's growth for a very long time. And the
SpaceX?
That's a cars.
That's from Texas, though, too.
But you look at, okay, here's a few businesses that are going to support population growth. Now you need additional housing moving in the area. And you need people, and again, that's one time, but you need housing to support the people that are living there. It's not the investors who are speculating buying 20 houses like they were trying to back in 05 and 06.
It's people to buy them to consume them.
It is.
Not speculating.
I mean, I kind of think if the economy opens up with COVID and Americans spend money, you know, we'll probably be okay through 2021. But I do want to we hit another record the first quarter, and this record is American corporations issued $140 billion of junk-rated bonds, which has been the highest in the history of the United States. So I don't know if you guys know what junk bonds are, but they're basically companies that have below a BBB rating. And when things go south, junk bonds usually get hit the first. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of money being issued. And I'm not saying that's necessarily bad, but things will eventually be caught up, I think. Hey, we got to sign here. We got to take another break. This is Money Talk, 5-6 a.m.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899, with Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. To enjoy a longer, productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. It's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors. Given recent events in the financial markets, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being? If you've been questioning your investment plan that you have in place, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors. Is a college education a dream you hold for your newborn? It's important to take steps to begin meeting this financial challenge. To learn about flexible college savings programs, contact Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. They can help you plan today so you're prepared for tomorrow's college expenses. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. This week on Money Talk, we'll be taking your questions on mortgages, credit, rental properties, and other budgeting items. If you or someone you know has a question, please call us Friday morning between 8 and 9 a.m. at 344-5258. 344-5258. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender. NMLS number 3113. Arizona license number 0904081. Hey, Yuma Money Talk, AM 560 KBLU. Derek, Tom, Russ here on a gorgeous Friday morning, 8:32 in the morning. Was great. Windows and doors were open this morning. Felt nice. And yeah, I know we'll be closing those and turning all the ACs on.
It's a little warm during the day. Yeah.
So get ready for the electric bills and swimming season probably.
So speaking of junk bonds, in 2009, which was kind of the bottom of the last pullback, 1 out of 7 high-yield junk bonds were in default. Now there's 1 out of 19 in default. So it was about a 14% default. Now it's at about 5%. So I don't think something's going to happen like right away, but I think things are building. And I'm talking 2022, 23, 24.
Now let's ask for the average investor who doesn't understand all of what a junk bond is. What do you believe the average interest rate payout of those what you call junk bonds?
I mean, I just throw a number out, but it's usually like 6 to 8%.
Okay, 6 to 8%. And what is the stock for? Again, let's just pretend it's me. For the stock market, the average investor, what's the stock market averaging right now? Have you stuck money in the S&P 500 or something?
Well, check this out. The first quarter of this year was the third best quarter out of 30 years in the stock market. So I think the quarter was up like 2.8 or something, but that's short-term looking. Mm-hmm. Like I would say the average 30-year average in the market's about 9%.
Okay, so would you put money into a junk bond or would you put it into some kind of a stock or mutual fund or something?
The kicker with junk bonds is because things change pretty rapidly with debt for companies, you almost want to turn it over to a money manager like a mutual fund mm-hmm. or somebody, because you got to be on top of it. I mean, companies that are doing okay now, 6 months could be hemorrhaging. So individual junk bonds, I never buy.
No, but it's risky. But it's interesting when you tell me that the average could be 6-8, even if it's 9. And I hear people say, well, the average stock market increase is, you know, 7, 8, 9. I don't know why you'd put money into junk bonds if you don't have a way to get a larger rate of return on that than just in something more safe and more secure, in my opinion.
There's probably more diversification. So let's start, you know, interest rates have started to go up from the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just talk mortgage rates because listeners can get. What was the low on the mortgage rate and where is that today?
Low. So when you say what's the lowest FHA and VA on a 30-year fixed, we're offering 2.25. There were ways to buy it down to about 2%.
Yeah.
So let's call it very low twos. And now you're seeing VA, FHA, same government insured, 30-year fixed stuff, in the high twos with good credit, with nominal credit or marginal credit, it's going to start with a 3. So, you know, you see, okay, well, 2 to 3 is not a big jump, but that's a 50% increase mathematically. That's a huge increase.
Yeah. So the area that's going to really hurt, you know, the bond market, which is a more a safer market than the stock market, is basically where interest rates are going. And if interest rates increase at a pretty quick pace, they can have a do a number on bonds. And bonds usually, you know, the thing is when interest rates go up, price of bonds go down, or they stay pretty stagnant. So the long dated Treasury from March of last year to March of this year, you had a Treasury more than 15 years old is down 15.8% on your money. So, but to answer your question about the junk bonds is some of that has to do with the interest rates and inflation, mm-hmm. you know, interest rates. If interest rates go up too quickly, junk bonds, even though they pay a 6-8% yield, they might be down for the year at 10%. So then you're still netting out. So, I mean, a lot of factors going in. If it's easy, everybody would be doing it.
That is the truth. That is the truth. So when you talk about, you know, here we've had a phenomenal first quarter, right? Stock market is up. We see GDP projections to continue on pace. Where do you see that somebody needs to be concerned about? And you talk about readjusting portfolios, that one sector may be way too high valued in a portfolio and needs to redistribute that a little bit in the portfolio. Are you seeing people actively go in and say, hey, Tom, we need to manage our money? Or are you seeing people just thrilled that their 401ks and IRAs and stock accounts are high, so they really don't pay attention to it?
So in my opinion, the old way of managing money is you get into mutual funds, and the typical family has maybe, you know, 25 to 100, whatever, and then the consumer or the client has to decide, do we get more into high yield, more into short-term bonds? So that either the client's deciding that or the advisor's deciding that. And to be honest with you, advisors aren't put through, you know, school to become an expert on where to move the money, in my opinion. Now, we have some instinct. I've been doing this for 26 years, but I don't spend 8 hours a day trying to decide is a high-yield bond sector the place to be. So what's happening now, and this is how the platform we're on, and we switched over a company last November, is that basically we have models, and these models might have, you know, 10 to 12 different sectors and different ETFs or mutual funds. So the money manager, who's not the advisor and not the client, is giving us permission to trade, and they could basically adjust the different sectors. And that's really, I think, the place to be because, you know, the consumer and the advisor, and I'll probably throw the advisor on the bus too, we don't have the time or the expertise to be looking at, you know, hundreds of people's portfolio and deciding, do we put more in junk bonds? We just don't. But if they have a model where they're looking at this thing 8 hours a day and adjusting it, that's where people, I think, need to be. You know, technology has come a long ways. You know, in old days, a big screen TV was, you know, $5,000, $10,000. Now it's $400, $500. A lot has happened with how your money can be invested, and some people are embracing that. I think other people are just still stuck in the old way of, you know, they decide what sector to go to.
So now when you look at this, it's interesting that I hear people talking more about investing, and sometimes in my business, people talk about it, and they share it, and they show you their statements, and sometimes they don't. And so I'm seeing more people chatter about stocks and investing and cryptocurrency and things like that. Are you seeing more of the average investors wanting to talk about it?
So 20% of the trading now on the stock market is done by, they call them retail people, which is basically people trading themselves, Robinhood. You can do it through E-Trade, you know, for almost no money. So I think, you know, Robinhood has been great because it gets people involved in the stock market when they're like in the low 20s. And there's a lot of people that have called us about crypto and that. You know, we don't do anything with that, and we don't, you know, we're not interested in trying something one time and see if it works. But I think a lot of the younger generation are getting more in tune to the stock market, and that's good because really, in my experience in the last 26 years of me doing this, the typical person doesn't get too serious about their money until they're like in the maybe late 30s, early 40s, and then they start getting more serious. So I think that the population is getting more educated. So I think that's a good thing. So, I don't know if I answered your question.
But. No, you didn't, but sometimes we all just ramble on and it's fine. So, you know, but it is interesting that I'm hearing more people talk about it. I don't know if you hear more people talk about buying homes and refinancing, but I'm seeing more of the population talk about investing, which is super good. And it's more of the younger people, like you say, the first-time home buyers, that, you know, they may have a stock trading platform on their phone.
So to answer that question a little better, so when the internet bubble hit and I was around then, I mean, you'd get random people that would want to put money in internet stocks because you can double, triple your money maybe in a short period of time. So I think the crypto thing, I'm getting the same buzz in my ears.
Mm-hmm.
There's people that absolutely know nothing and want to get involved. And I'm not saying, you know, that's, you know, who knows, but there could be a bubble going there too. But it reminds me a lot of the internet bubble. Just too many people are interested in a certain area that's mm-hmm. a niche, and they're expecting to make a lot of money.
Yeah.
So that to me in the back of my mind says that, you know, there's could be some bubbles approaching somewhere.
Well, I don't even know, other than I'm shocked to see where, say, Bitcoin is at this point, and I don't know how you support that. That's your area of expertise. But I go back to the old Warren Buffett, hey, you know, sell when people
are buying.
I'll
make it very clear, I'm not a cryptocurrency expert.
No, and I don't think any of the three of us are. I mean, Russ is looking up the definition of cryptocurrency on his phone right now.
I didn't know we had them.
But, you know, you look at, and when you have everybody talking about it, that makes me think, okay, that might be the time to sell it. I don't know.
Well, look at Bitcoin, though. People were selling it at 10,000. Now it's 56,000.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? I don't have any idea.
I think the main thing with these currencies that are being created is that there's a limited number being created. And if I just said that, you know, any iPhone's worth $1 million, and that was truly the trading value of an iPhone, then we can, you know, we can start trading stuff off my iPhone being worth $1 million. To me, that's what kind of cryptocurrency is. It's not backed by anything. It's a made-up number. And as long as you think my phone's worth $1 million, I can then go buy $1 million house.
It is,
If you don't think it is, then it's not going to work out. But I think the key thing with the crypto is I think that they are limited. It can't just be printed. Like, all governments keep printing money, right?
Mm-hmm.
So basically, the fact that it's limited and the fact that they can't just coming up with new ones, I think the consumer is going that way because, hey, we printed over $3.5 trillion in the last, you know, 6 months, 8 months, and I think that's what is ultimately causing crypto to be looked at, right? I mean, when you hear the stories down in South America where, you know, they devalue the dollar, and now if you have $1 million, it's worth $10,000, and that's the fear out there, I think, you know? I mean, that's an ultimate fear, but that's where I think the crypto is, and some of it's frenzy too, but I think, you know, for Tesla to do it, or Elon Musk, I think they put $1 billion of the Tesla money into it. I mean, that's not.
Boy,
that's
did they
a calculated
get a good return on investment on that one.
They actually made more on that than they did on their cars. I don't know if you saw that stat.
Mm-hmm.
They made, I think it was like $100 billion or something, and the cars made like 90 something. So
it's nice when that happens.
Yeah, but you know, for people like that to be doing it, and corporate America starting to embrace it, there has to be some value somewhere, right? I mean, and I think the value is they're afraid that the government's just going to print out. Keep putting out money, and then our money's going to be, you know, used for toilet paper like it is down in some countries in South America.
Hope not.
Hope not.
Take a break.
Hey, this is Money Talk, AM 560 KBLU.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory
Eric
services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
With Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
To enjoy a longer, productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. It's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors. Given recent events in the financial markets, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being? If you've been questioning your investment plan that you have in place, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Derek Egeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. This week on Money Talk, we'll be taking your questions on mortgages, credit, rental properties, and other budgeting items. If you or someone you know has a question, please call us Friday morning between 8 and 9 a.m. at 344-5258. 344-5258. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender. NMLS number 3113. Arizona license number 0904081. Derek Egeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. With Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
Given recent events in the financial markets, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being? If you've been questioning your investment plan that you have in place, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors. To enjoy a longer, productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. It's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Money Talk here, Tom Rush, Human Investment Group. We got Derek Egberg, Academy Mortgage, and infamous Russ Clark.
Infamous.
Yeah, infamous. It fits.
He wants to be addressed that way now. Hey, so talking about bubbles, right? We were talking about it. So I got some stats on the dot-com bubble and then the financial crisis bubble. So the dot-com bubble, now this is the S&P 500 Information Technology Index. This is a stock index. Guess how long it took to recover? So the peak was March of 2000. And I mean, I know you're not going to guess, but took 17 years to recover that index. So it went from March of 2000 to July of 2017 before that S&P 500 Information Technology Index basically got back to even. 17 years. People don't think about stuff like that, but... and then the financial crisis was in... The peak was in February of 07, and it took December of 19 to come back. So that took... almost 13 years to come back. And the financials are mainly banks and, you know, financial companies, investment brokerage. I mean, so a lot of people don't think about these troughs or these downturns, but a lot of them take a decade plus to get back to where you want to be.
It used to.
Yeah. Well,
amen to that. But step back for a minute and let's look at the psychology of this. So When you see the news media talking about, oh, this is great, this is great, this is great, everything goes up, and as soon as everybody starts saying the word bubble, 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 now you're going to see a psychological pullback anyway. And you actually put yourself in that position. I mean, let's boil this down to what every American should be looking at right now. Am I paying down my debt? Am I investing money in a smart way? Am I putting myself into a better financial position every day of every year of the rest of my life? Or am I doing things that are going to put me in harm's way? Now, clearly, if you cashed out your whole 401k and dropped it into Bitcoin because you hope it's going to go up, you're putting yourself in harm's way. Agreed?
Agreed.
Now, if you said, hey, I think there's going to be a bubble, so I'm not going to invest in anything and I'm just going to become a hermit and pull back, you're one of the reasons that there's going to be a bubble, because now you're not doing anything out in the marketplace as well. So you got to kind of look at this and say, where does this lie if I take the emotion out of it and look at the tactical nature? It's still going to be 1 + 1 = 2. So when you talk...
But I kind of disagree with that and a little bit, because I think...
I love it. Let's argue.
Because I think the typical person doesn't proactively trying to figure out the next step. I think that blindly just, you know, everyone's running that way, we're going to run, and then they get burned, and then they pull back. So I don't think there's a lot of pre-moving around. It's almost like, you know, punch me in the face, and I can say, okay, I just got punched in the face. If you threaten to punch me in the face, you know, I'm not going to respond to that. I think the typical American, not you, because I think you're got a business, and you got probably, you know...
But we should pay attention to that. That's what I'm saying, is we should.
Well, the professionals do.
You know, you get around professionals such as yourself, Tom, and you say, what do I need to be doing? But instead of looking at words like bubbles or even GDP for the average person, you look at, am I paying down my non-productive debt? Am I getting rid of credit cards and cars, and am I making it easier to afford my living? Am I investing in things? Am I giving Tom money? Am I putting it in my college 529 plan for the kids? Am I putting it in a 401k or an IRA? What am I doing to smartly look at this without paying attention to the noise on the news media and the TV and the internet?
You know, a lot of people that have money that I see, that basically just discipline people. And if you look at most people that are really, really fit, they're disciplined because they're going to the gym, they're exercising, they're running, and everyone can technically be physically fit, right? Eat right, that type of thing. Same thing with your money. So
why'd you look at me when you said that?
No, because the things that you're saying that you should be doing is a fiscal responsible investor, and some people are to the extreme of doing nothing. So build it into your habits and build it into your DNA, and let time take its toll and take some risk. You can't keep it under your mattress, and you'll probably be in a pretty good position. Hey, I want to say something real quick about growth stocks. So growth stocks have dominated for the last 15 years compared to value stocks. And growth stocks are companies that are growing at a high rate with revenue, not necessarily earnings, but they're growing quickly. Value companies are companies that are actually showing earnings, paying dividends, kind of the blue chip type companies. So year to date, or 12 months ago, this is the first time that value companies are doing better than growth companies. So you talked about, you know, maybe a bubble at some point down the road. Well, if you're in a bubble, do you want to own a growth company or a value company?
Anyone show me the dividends.
Yeah, value is much more protective than growth. So there is a movement going that way. Now, the question is that the American consumer, or is it more money managers and mutual fund people realizing growth might be, you know, overspent a little bit? So I don't know, but you know, good time to look at that.
Now, when you talk about value, you know, I haven't looked in forever. What stocks pay the biggest dividends right now? What is a good dividend from what you call a blue chip?
I would say, you know, high 1% to maybe 3%. I mean, they're not huge dividends. And I'm not talking about junk stuff
right.
that
no,
can
no,
go
no.
higher, but just, yeah, so, you know, maybe close to 2 to 3.5%-ish.
Which?
But there's growth on top of that.
Hopefully, yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah. But, you know, but that's paying better than a CD rate. So,
yeah.
I mean, if you're looking for income, you know, sometimes the dividend stocks, as long as you can stomach the ups and the downs.
And now you go back to there's the emotionalness. People don't stomach the ups and the downs. I don't know about you, but I think there's going to be ups and downs for the rest of our lives. Until the day we're done.
One crisis there's another crisis.
You know, and there will be ups on one side that's going to cause a down on another. But where do we, or how do we get the emotionalness out of it? How do we get back to just the tactical nature? And you don't, I know, but, you know, you see people that it's, you talked about herd immunity, right, when we started the show. You have the herd investors that say, oh, it's great, and everybody goes in, or, oh, it's a bubble, and everybody goes out. And it's a very emotional thing that for the people, like you say, that have money, it's a very tactical thing. It's not emotional at all.
Yeah, I mean, there's still a good feeling about, you know.
No, good feelings are one thing.
But you're right, it's not the drive.
You don't make the, you know. Russ, would you love a new truck? Would you, you know, are you going to go out and buy that new $110,000 truck because you love it? It's an emotional decision.
It's emotional, yeah. And I think emotion drives most of what Tom does. Tom can tell you that because when things go bad, they run in your office. Or go good, they run in your office.
No, when it goes good, nobody calls him. When it goes bad, they come into his office.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, if you look at a doctor where you drive up, I forgot the name of it. You're hurt, you drive up to the hospital, what's that called?
Emergency room.
Emergency room. If you look at those good doctors, they probably keep a very same demeanor, even if someone's coming in with their head cut off, right?
Yeah.
And I think to some degree that's a skill, and you can apply that to that. You can apply it to the financial market. You can apply it to whatever your stress is as a business owner. And if you can keep the non-emotional attachment to what should I be doing the next second, the next 10 seconds,
and you make better decisions.
You make better decisions. So that's what people have to do to some degree is get a little calloused on that. You know, I mean, as a kid, you can say, hey, don't touch a fire, you're going to get burned. Well, wait, let that kid touch a fire and get a blister on their finger.
It's emotional.
And they will know that fire is hot. You know, and I think people have to experience it a little bit. I mean,
Remind me of the story that my mom and I argued and I burnt myself.
Yeah,
thanks a lot, Tom.
I've been beat up in a lot of areas, whether it's stocks or whether it's, you know, some real estate and other things. But until you learn that, then you have a little smarter the next time around.
That's right.
Hey, real quick, May 17th is the deadline for IRS filing. You could also fund a Roth IRA and IRA before May 17th. So if you haven't filed your taxes yet, it's not too late to fund them. Keep that in mind.
I think that's great advice, and it's, you know, we got a month extension from the IRS, so take advantage of it, whether it's that or a 529 for your kids, whatever you need to. From all three of us, if you have served, are serving, or a family member of yours has served, again, we can't do this show and do what we do without great men and women like yourselves that give us these freedoms. So from all of us, if there's anything we can ever do for you all, please don't hesitate to ask, but we appreciate your service.
Have a great weekend, everybody.
The opinions
voiced in this show, Money Talk, are for general information only and not intended for specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
From the 1 hour air conditioning and heating studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.